All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We read this last week. I thought it set a laid a foundation for our time, and I wanted to continue with that theme. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, in him, everybody say, in him. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be, might live, might dwell, might exist for the praise of his glory. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed with us, that you guide us, that you direct us, Lord, that you give us opportunities, Lord. Lord, I thank you that I could get up this morning, Lord, spend time with you, Lord, that I could spend time with you over the last several days, putting this message together, Lord, with the hope of bringing you glory, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we face challenges every day. Anybody got challenges today? Lord, that we have challenges, and in those challenges are opportunities to bring you glory. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we face a worthy enemy that is already defeated, Lord, but we have the opportunity to grab onto you in faith that we can overcome every challenge. Lord, I thank you for the challenges with these children that are running around, Lord. I thank you for the challenges at our workplace, Lord, with our cars, Lord, in our homes, with our spouses, Lord, that in all those challenges, Lord, we can grab onto you and we can bring you glory. Lord, I thank you as we leave this place today, Lord, that there will be challenges. And in the midst of those, we can bring you glory, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grab onto our primary purpose in our lives, to bring you glory. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. It has been a little while since I have shared with you about my 1963 Oldsmobile Super 88. It has been parked in my garage for a little while. I'm waiting for my mechanic to find a part for my transmission that he has. He just has to find it. But I do love driving that car. And it is a one-off year, meaning that no other cars look like my Oldsmobile, my 1963 Super 88. And as I drive down the road, people snap their heads and they go, what kind of car is that? It's an Oldsmobile 1963 Super 88 because I don't have the badges on it. And it's fun. And that car looks great from about 10 feet away. But as you step closer, as I step closer, I begin to see the flaws. I begin to see the places on that car that I need to do some more work. And I bring that up because I think that my 1963 Oldsmobile Super 88 is a great example or an illustration of our lives, that oftentimes we can look good from a distance. But as we step closer to one another, we can see the flaws. Can I get a witness on that? That we can see the flaws that each of us has, and we can begin to work on those so that we can bring a little glory to God. And sometimes we really don't want to do that work, and so we can live isolated lives and separated lives. We don't get close to anyone. But Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus draws near, that he comes closer than a brother, and he comes close and he shows us what we need to work on so that we can bring him glory. Amen? Bible message today is called Kingdom Opportunities, and we are in a series called Make the Climb. And the higher you go, the more glory you're going to bring to our Father in heaven. Amen? It has taken us 2 months to get here. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, some of you might have heard that, 1647, no, I think it's Yeah, 1647. The Westminster Standards were written. As portion of that, there is the Westminster Longer Catechism and the Shorter Catechism. And the Shorter Catechism is 107 questions with answers. The very first question is, what is the primary end of man? What is the primary purpose? The very first question that comes in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the answer is, from these great theologians that lived 400 years ago, man's chief end, man's chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Taking us 2 months get to making the climb. We had to start off to lighten the load. We talked in January about dealing with the sin in our lives, because it is impossible to bring glory to God when you are covered with filth. Amen? Anybody want to give a hug to that man? I don't think so. And so we talked about dealing with the issues in our lives with confession, agreeing with God that you've got some stuff that needs to go. Amen? With repentance, stop doing that stuff that God don't like. And forgiveness, that we can forgive those who sin against us and we can be cut free, set free from that sin that would bind us. Amen? Last month, we took a look at the curse and how the curse is pressing down upon us, weighing us down, that we are surrounded by a creation that is fallen, that is broken because of sin that has come, and the curse as a result of that. And we talked last month about, as we connect with the kingdom of God, that we are able to push back on that curse, and we are able to get a little room to move. Amen? And as we get a little room to move, we can begin to climb the mountain of God, and we can begin to move into His opportunities, because it's in kingdom opportunities that we have the opportunity to glorify God. The title of today's message is Kingdom Opportunities. We're going to take a look at our primary purpose in life, bringing God glory. We start off and we move to the end, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Bible reads, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Jesus says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. And here we see that it is indeed Jesus who opens doors for glory. And here He is talking about kingdom doors. Letter here is to the church in Philadelphia that is one of seven churches who are written to in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. They are in modern day Turkey, and He says that they are weak. Jesus writes to another church, Smyrna. And He says, I know that you are poor. And so, whether you are rich or weak or strong or poor, Jesus has doors that He will open for you to give you opportunity to glorify our Father in heaven. Amen? And perhaps you come in here this morning and you are feeling weak. Perhaps you are feeling tired because you lost an hour of sleep. Perhaps you're feeling a little poor. Jesus says, I know your situation. I know what you got going on. He says, I know everything about you, and I have a door that I am opening for you this morning, a kingdom opportunity that if you choose to step through that, you will have the opportunity to glorify my Father. Now you walk in here maybe tired, maybe poor, maybe weak. And you're thinking, Pastor, I am just trying to get by. Well, the kingdom of God is about a whole lot more than just getting by. The kingdom of God is about opportunities to bring him glory. He says, I know what you got going on. I know what's going on in your home. I know what's going on in your workplace. I know what's going on at your school, with your car, with your relationships. I got doors for you. He says, whatever you do and wherever you are, I have opportunity for you. And based on what you've got going on, sometimes Jesus will come by and close those doors. And so all we got to do is look for open ones. And when you step through those kingdom opportunities, you get an opportunity to bring him glory. Amen? Think for a second. How many times did you bring him glory this week? How many times did you start your day going, God, I'm going to bring you glory today? Because if you don't shoot for it, you won't hit it. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Wrong button. Oh, what did I do? I did something bad. It's a new clicker. Forgive me. Wow. I don't even know how I did that. But I can fix it, I think. It's my mouse. Oh, wrong mouse. Here we go. There we go. 1B. Sorry about that. We're just being real here. I guess I'm the only one who's being real here. Hallelujah. I drop my stuff. I break my stuff. All right. I'm going to make sure I don't do that again, though. All right. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. You ever done that? In your heart, say, Lord, whatever you want. I am there for you, whatever you want. Well, this guy says, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And Jesus says to him, come on. No, actually, he doesn't say that. Jesus says to this guy who just said, I'm going to follow you with my whole heart, my whole life. He says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, he's talking about himself there, has no place to lay his head. And he says to another man, follow me. But that man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and you proclaim the kingdom of God. That's an open door right there. Can I get a witness on that? Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, that's good. I'll meet you around the corner. No. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at three kingdom opportunities right here. We're going to look at them briefly. The first man comes to Jesus with possibly an incorrect expectation on what life would be like following Jesus. That perhaps he's coming thinking that there is some divine provision that would be coming his way, and maybe there was just good times and wealth that would come his way. And there are churches this morning that you could be at that would tell you that God, one of God's primary purposes is to make you wealthy. But here Jesus says, and other places Jesus says, that the kingdom of God is a sacrifice. He says that you are going to live for me, you're going to have to stop living to glorify yourself, and you're going to have to start living to glorify him. And he says you might not even have a bed to sleep in. But if you ain't got no bed, I got a special door for you that you can glorify him by having no bed. Amen? I bet most of you got bed. Jesus didn't always have a bed. He moves from that man and he moves to a man who is in transition. His father has died. How many of you, my father died, I don't know, 20 years ago almost. How many of you's father has died? It's a time of transition, isn't it? And Jesus reaches out to this man and he says, I see what you got. Here's a door just for you. You come and follow me and you can preach the gospel. And this man says, first, let me go deal. With the stuff I got going on. Let me see where I can fit you in, Jesus. Now I can understand how many people struggle with fitting in church. Might have a ball game to watch, wash a car. Got stuff going on. Might struggle fitting in church. What I can't understand is struggling to fit in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God is everywhere. The kingdom of God is infinite, lasts forever. You look forward, back, it's all there. And you're saying, I don't know if I could fit the kingdom of God in. That I struggle with. It's an issue of priorities. Last man says, Jesus, I'll come and follow you, but let me go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, you know, Jesus says that the cares of life and the desire for wealth will line you up on the wrong door. He says, you need to come and follow me because it is only through kingdom opportunities that you're going to be able to achieve your primary purpose in life, which is to bring God glory. Amen? I don't know how many of you like to-do lists. I am a to-do list guy. And I got some here. Things to do. And maybe yours looks like this. Laundry. Anybody put laundry on their to-do list? Unless if you got dirty clothes, I can tell. Shopping. Change my oil. My wife puts that on my list. Time with God. Lunch with Lisa. Had to take some books back to the library yesterday. I got to do my taxes. Things to do. You see the things that I got crossed off there. I hope you can read that. It came out kind of light. And then next day, I didn't get my oil done yesterday, so I got to move the oil on up. Move the oil on up. Lunch with Lisa. Oh, I got to move that back up. Pick up some food. Board meeting. Time with God. Taxes. Down there at the bottom, I got to preach. You see what I got crossed off. Next day, board meeting. Pick up food. Preach. Time with God. Change my tire. And see, it's amazing how we can get busy and get all kinds of stuff crossed off our list, but that time with God, you can just kind of miss it. Now, maybe the Lord would have you reprioritize your list. See, and you put that time with God first. And in my life, when I put the time with the Lord on, I end up achieving all the stuff on my list. You get what I'm saying? See, on these other lists, there's always stuff. There's always gaps as I get off track. I put time with the Lord first, and all of a sudden, I'm able to do all the other stuff I need to do. Pastor Scott kind of talked about that in the offering, in our time. And as you put time with the Lord first on your list begins to look different. You know, time with the Lord, read the Bible, prayer meeting, preach, pray with the lunch team, fix computers. See, when you begin to prioritize things the way the Lord does, you start filling up your day with different stuff. And you get the opportunity. Now, I preach. You might not have preached, but you get the opportunity to share the Lord with your kids, neighbor, friend. I see Teresa sitting right there. She gets to teach. Gail's over there. She teaches. Many of you have opportunity to glorify your Father in heaven. And as you put your time with God up first on your list, life just gets better. Amen? Amen? All right. No more lists. Okay, here we go. See if I can get to this. All right. Jesus will put you on the path, the right path. Acts chapter 9, we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul here. Talk about a Damascus Road experience. Well, this is it right here. As Saul, soon to be called Paul, neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul answers, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you're going to be told what you must do." Now, God often makes it simple for us. Paul is on the way to Damascus. Jesus appears to him. Paul was on his way to Damascus to attack the church because he was going to do that to bring glory to God. And his heart was right. His desire in his life was to protect the Lord from this new upstart religion that was going to bring discredit to all that God was. See, Paul's heart was right, but his actions were entirely wrong. And so God begins to speak with him to change the entire direction of his life. See, and what he does is he opens a door to Paul. And how do I know that Paul's heart is right? Because when Jesus opens that door, he walks right through. Amen? See, that's a judge. That is an evaluation of your heart. When God opens that door, what are you going to do with that opportunity? Also notice that the Lord speaks loudly to Paul. He is blinded by the light of the Lord. And his companions got no clue what is going on. Paul's entire life being redirected. And they are just going back to normal. But Paul is done with normal. Because his heart is right with God, and he's going to be stepping through an open door. It is when you step into kingdom opportunities that you get to bring God glory. Amen? Let's keep going. We're going to jump ahead. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia. Now, you're just blessed by that, aren't you? And Galatia. I got a map I'm going to show you, so we'll know what we're talking about. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, our choices display our commitment. God shows you an open door. He can see your heart. He can see your commitment by whether or not you're going to step through that. What we do is we move ahead 15 years in Paul's life, walking with the Lord. He is moving into kingdom opportunities and doing his best to stay on track with God. So here's that map. What he is doing is, this is Paul's second missionary journey, happens in 50 to 54 AD. And what he does is he gets to Antioch, which is that chunk up there on the upper right, is, my old one that I dropped. The flashlight didn't work. All right, here we go. This is the end of his first missionary journey. In here is Asia, right? And so Paul says, this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to go to where we went before, and then we're going to kick it on in, and we're going to go to Asia. And the Lord says, no. Paul says, okay, we'll go up here into Bithynia. And the Lord says, no. See, Paul had his plans, but God had different plans. Paul says, or the Lord says, the Lord says, I want you to go to Troas and then on into Greece. God's plan for him to get into Philippi. Paul says, no problem. Grabs on to God's plan and throws his plan out the window. Amen? I want you to notice here that as we look at this, there is a struggle. There is a struggle for Paul to get the plan of God. Right? I mean, he's going, okay, I think I got you here on this, Lord. But he didn't have the Lord. Starts off with Asia, going to Bithynia, then to Macedonia. And you might come in here this morning struggling to comprehend God's opportunities for you to glorify your Father in heaven. Anybody got that? And so I like Paul's mode of operandi here, that he says, I'm going to Asia until God redirects my path. And if he wants to redirect me, that's fine. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? And it's because then you're moving. I know people who haven't moved in years because they haven't heard from God. You start moving, you're going the wrong direction. I've always found that God will redirect my steps. Amen? It is able to redirect somebody, a rolling wheel, than one that's not moving at all. Amen? Paul sees the open door, Macedonia. He steps right in. And I'm wondering this morning, what do you do when you see open doors? Our commitment level, our commitment to Jesus, is displayed on how fast we step through those doors and how far you're going to go. Because it's in kingdom opportunities that you're able to bring him glory. You know, I grabbed Aaron when he came in this morning. It was about 9 because he's playing the congas up there. And I said, hey, I want to interview you today in the message. And he's like, about what? And I said, well, I want to talk to you about doing youth. Because we prayed for him 2 weeks ago. I had my notes. I said, we prayed for you last week. That when you, he was shifting from teaching the elementary school class on Sunday mornings to teaching the youth on Sunday morning. And I said, how's it going? He's going, it's going good. I got some challenges, but I'm excited. And when I talked to him about that, he said, yeah, I'm going to do that. But if I do that, if I step through this door, there's other things that I can't do anymore. Doing the congas on the days that I teach, I'm struggling with that. Other opportunities that I'm doing right now, I'm going to know what we're going to do with the men. But I want to, as I step through this door, I want to be completely focused on this opportunity. I said, exactly, that's what I'm going to ask you this morning. And he said, but I'm teaching this morning. And I said, no, you're up today. He said, no, I'm down today. I am teaching today. I said, well, that'll even work better because he's down there teaching right now, stepping through that open door so that he can seek to bring God. You can ask him about that later. Last thing I got for you this morning is bringing God glory is going to take some effort in your life. You ain't just going to back into bringing God glory. It's not like, I just brought you glory, God. You know what I'm saying? If you thought you just lucked out and maybe brought God glory this week, probably not. It's going to take effort. Luke 10, 25 to 28. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That is from Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, Jesus says, you have answered correctly. You do this, and you will live. Jesus is talking about a complete commitment to the kingdom in our lives. And I think in the United States, we have a lot of partial commitment. As in my to-do list, oftentimes we got time with God down on the list, 3, 4, 5. It might not even make it on your list. Float a prayer when you need a parking spot. Oh, Lord. What's that song? Oh, Lord, won't you give me a diamond ring? Mercedes Benz? Give me a parking spot in front of Kohl's, Lord. See, the Lord's looking for a little bit more than that. And he says, I want you to connect. You want to bring me glory. You love me with your whole heart. And he starts off with the heart. Jesus talks about the heart in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, false testimony, and slander. Jesus says, you give me your whole heart and we'll start cleaning all that stuff out. Lots of people try to hide what's going on in their hearts from the Lord. And they struggle with bringing him glory. Second thing he says is, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Now, the Bible tells us that we are born dead in our sins and in our transgressions. That you, when you are born, that you are utterly incapable of bringing glory to God. But that when you surrender your life to the Lord, that Holy Spirit comes to live in you and he makes you alive and your soul begins to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And you can now live with a focus on fulfilling your primary purpose to bring him glory. It says, love the Lord your God with all your strength. He wrote to the church in Philadelphia. He says, I see that you have little strength. And he's not necessarily saying you need more strength. But what he is saying is, what you got, I want. All of it. Not a little portion, not the leftovers. I want to be first. And then he says, I want you to love me with all your mind. And our mind is where our thoughts, our plans, and our desires reside. Jesus is going to open doors for you. You get to make a choice whether or not you're going to go through kingdom opportunities. It's when we step into those opportunities that we're able to bring him glory. Do you want to? Is that primary in your life? A lot of people live with their primary desire in their lives is that God would bring them glory. That God would get me a Mercedes Benz. That God would get me a parking spot in front of Kohl's. That God's job is to bring me glory. The primary point of end of God is to bring me glory in parking spaces in front of Kohl's. Doesn't work that way. Last thing I want to read from you is from Paul. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's a big sentence right there. Not that I have already obtained all this. You can read Philippians 3, see what he's talking about. Or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, Paul's stepping on. He is stepping into open doors. He is moving into the fullness of God, fullness of the kingdom. I want you to notice here that Paul is stepping on, but it is Jesus who has opened the door. And if you sit here this morning, and I hope you sit here this morning in right relationship with God, that you came in here going, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to bless you. I want to know more about you. If you are in right relationship with God this morning, it is because Jesus began a work in you. And all we do is respond to that work. Amen? Paul says, Jesus put his arms around me, and I strive to get my arms around him. And I don't believe that I have yet got my arms around him. And I don't look at how far I've come. I don't look at all the stuff. And Paul has done some stuff. Can I get a witness on that? I'm not looking at what I've done. I am looking at what I'm going to do. I am looking at what is in front of me, my next step, so that I can embrace the Lord. He says, I don't look at what I've given up. And he's given up a ton. I am looking at is what is getting in my way. Because what is getting in my way keeps me from moving through the doors that Jesus is opening for me. And it is only as I step into those opportunities that I can bring my Father in heaven glory. He's stepping on. He is pressing on. He is pressing into a life that brings glory to God. And as he does that, as he strives day in and day out to bring more and more glory to God, he gets closer and closer to his personal prize. You say, finally, Pastor, you got to something I can relate to. What is my prize? Your prize is participating in the glory of God that you work your whole life bringing to him. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? Many of you sit here this morning excited. Many of you come in here this morning thinking, man, what I want to do is I want to bring glory to God in my life with my choices, with my kids, with my job, with every situation that I have. And I'm so excited because what happened to me on Thursday? What happened to me on Tuesday when I met this guy that I had the opportunity to glorify God, and I stepped into that. And right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he's reminding you those times that you made choices that glorified him this week. And he says, well done. Good job, kid. Good job, son. Good job, daughter. Hallelujah. And some of you come in here this morning, and you're encouraged. Maybe you're a little tired. You've seen that opportunity. You've taken that opportunity. Some of you come in here this morning and you're encouraged because when you came in here this morning, you thought you were too poor to glorify God. You thought you were too dumb to glorify God. You thought you were too weak. My body is broken down. You don't even know what I'm going through. I can't bring glory to God. But this morning, the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit shows us that whatever your situation, he says, I know how much money you got in the bank. He says to some of you, I know you ain't even got no money in the bank. I know how many bills you got. He says, Lori, I know what's going on with your back. He says, I know what's going on with your job. I know what's going on with your kids. I know what's going on with your spouse. I know what's going on in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. And he says, in every situation, I have a kingdom door just for you. And I'm going to open it, and nobody's going to be able to shut that door, but you have the opportunity this morning to move into that door. You got to close your door. Because that door hangs open, and that's the God's glory door, and you're looking at that other door is for my glory, my fun, my entertainment, my leisure, my purpose. Well, you can't go through both. The one man said, God, I'm going to follow you, but let me go first. See, it don't matter what you're going to do first. It just matters that God's not first. Because when God's not first, you never get to God. You're so busy going down your doors that his doors, they're way behind you. You're here this morning. Jesus speaking right to your heart saying, I got a door for you. I got an opportunity for you to begin to glorify my Father in heaven. I've got an opportunity for you. I don't care if you don't know anything other than Jesus died on the cross to set you free from your sin. If you know that Jesus died on the cross to set you free from your sin, you got enough knowledge of the kingdom to let somebody else in. Amen? That's all you got to know. You don't got to have all the right words. You don't have to have it all spelled out. All you got to do is walk through the opportunities. Pray with me if you would. Amen? Sit right there, would you? Thank you. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that you are good and mighty and awesome, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I came in here, you're thinking maybe I came in here weak, Lord. I came in here weak, Lord, but you're thinking, Lord, the little strength that I got, I want to be like Philadelphia Church, Lord. I'm going to give you all the little strength that I got. Lord, I came in here in poverty, Lord, but I won't be like that church in Smyrna, Lord. I'm going to give all my poverty to you, Lord. Lord, I come in here with pain, Lord. I'm going to give my pain to you, Lord. Lord, I come in here hungry and thirsting for you, Lord. I'm going to give you my hunger. I'm going to give you my thirst, Lord. I'm going to move through that, Lord, so I can bring you glory. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you speak to my heart this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have a door just for me, Lord. Lord, I've been struggling so much with the doors of my life, Lord. Lord, I don't want to live for me anymore. Lord, help me close those doors. Lord, you say in your word that you close doors that no one can open. Lord, I need you to help me, Lord, close some of these doors because I'm so used to walking through them, Lord, I just get lost. Lord, I want to walk through your doors. I want to know you this morning, Lord. I want to bring you glory this morning. This morning, you're here, and the Lord is speaking to you. He's saying, I got opportunity for you, Lord. Young man, young daughter, young lady. But your heart's the problem. I've had doors hanging open for you for a long time, and you pass them on by. And this morning, God's speaking right to your heart, and you're saying, Lord, okay, I got it. I got it, I got it, I got it. I've been living for my own glory. Lord, show me your door. Show me your door, Lord. Some of you already know what it is. You're saying, Lord, I see it. I'm going to walk through it. Some of you saying, I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. I'm going to start moving, Lord. Open the door for me, Lord. I want to move into a kingdom opportunity. I want to bring you glory. I just feel the Lord is just speaking to hearts this morning. It's like a Damascus Road situation. It's like a City Heights situation. The Lord just spoke right to my heart. This small church, a church in City Heights on March, what is today, 9th, 10th, 2019, utterly and totally redirected my life. People around me didn't even realize what was going on, but God spoke to my heart.